as I was praying there, I had this just rose up in my spirit. There's someone here that's concerned about your child. Now, I don't know. The Lord didn't show me who it is. You're concerned about your child. And because you honored the Lord today, you're here in His presence. You're here in His so-called house. We're the house of God, but we're the collective house of God. Because you honored Him today, the Lord's already working things out. He's already got angels on an assignment to take care of that child right now. Okay? That just rose up in my spirit. Praise the Lord. So we receive that today, Lord. We receive that. Thank you, Lord. You know, the scripture says that the ministering spirits, angels, are like a flame of fire. And they don't travel at the speed of light. They travel at the speed of thought. That's how fast they are. Amen. And I'm telling you, they've been sent to minister for us on our behalf. Glory to God. So that child, whoever that is, whether it be a boy or a girl or whatever the situation is, God is taking care of them today. He's taking care of them today. So you roll the work, the care of that thing on the Lord right now, because He's already working it out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll hear good news. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, John 3:16, what we've been doing is we're talking about this subject about love defined. And last week in particular, we started to look real closely at the God kind of love. Now, most of the sermons that I've heard through the years, to be honest with you, had to do, when it came to the subject of love, it had to do with us walking in love towards other people. Okay? And that's important. But that would say the majority of the message that I've heard have come from that aspect, from that viewpoint of walking and, you know, treating people right and so forth and so on. That's really good. And we'll probably get into the edge of that in this series here. But what the Lord has had me to do in this series, first and foremost, is to investigate like an investigator and look real closely at how much God loves us first. Okay? Because it is impossible to love other people unless you know how much you are first loved by the Lord, by the Father. Now, a lot of people have not had the privilege. In the many years I've been ministering through the years, last 30-some years, in different people, different congregations at times, there's been several times where people have had a hard time growing up in bad atmospheres where they really weren't loved like they needed to be. But the good news is you can overcome that. You could have grown up in the worst house possible. But we have a Father. And the Bible says He becomes a father to the fatherless. Amen. Now, let's look at this scripture again in John 3. We saw this last week. And let's look under this rock, so to speak, and let's see what the Word of God has to say about divine love. Amen. God's love towards us. Are you ready this morning? For God so loved the world. Say, that's me. Okay, when He talks about world, He doesn't mean, you know, just the whole globe and everything, everybody. That's part of it, but you're part of the world. For God so loved the world, that's me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. Zoe, Z-O-E, that's the Greek word there. That means the God kind of life. Now look at verse 17. It just gets better as we read here. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that good that God's not condemning us? Yeah. Verse 18, for He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now how many of you know, how many of you believe in Jesus here? You believe on Him. If you believe on Jesus, you are not condemned. All the wrath of God fell on Jesus so that it wouldn't fall on us. Isn't that amazing? Now, I remember, about 2 years ago, I was spending some extra time in prayer. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, spoke something inside my spirit that I had never heard before through another human being. But you know, you still have to try. The Bible says, try the spirits whether they're of God. Amen. You can hear a voice, but you better make sure that voice lines up with the Word of God. Now, I didn't hear it with these ears, but I heard it inside my heart like you hear Him too. And the Lord said something to me. He says, Keith, do you know who the most cursed person ever was that walked the face of the earth? I said, who, Lord? And I, when he, what he said to me, I was not expecting. He says, my son, Jesus, was the most cursed person that walked the place, the face of the earth. And I believe at some point in some time that I'm going to write a book called The Most Cursed Man. Because people want to read that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And but when they open the pages and they begin to read this, you know, they're going to find out, my God. You know, now most of us would think Jesus, the most blessed man. Now he is now. He is now. But he became the curse. Galatians, the third chapter, and I'll just refer to it. Chapter 3 and verse 13 of Galatians says, Christ, that's Jesus, that's not his last name. Amen. Christ has past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Amen. That we might receive the blessing of Abraham. Then if you look at verse 29, it says that if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to the promise. Amen. Well, 13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus became the total curse of the law for me and for you, that we might receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus became that when he went to the cross. He became the total curse. All of God's wrath and punishment were laid upon Jesus Christ because he took the world's sins at that point, past, present, and future of people. I mean, we weren't even born yet, but God saw us. Are you with me? And all the wrath of God was, the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Jehovah. Isaiah was prophesying about it. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus for us because he took our punishment. He took our pains. Amen. As a matter of fact, you know, like in the field of sports, you know, they have substitutes. If someone gets hurt, like this time of the year, NFL starts, all right? Well, they don't just have one center or one quarterback because if they go down, there's got to be a replacement that's going to go in there. You know what I'm talking about? All right? Jesus became our substitute. We were in the game of life and we were losing big time. And God sent Jesus down to take our place, put our jersey on with our name on it, and he went in there and whipped the other team, which was the devil. Amen. I get that. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Everybody likes a winning team. Hey, you know, back in the 70s when I was in school, you know, do you know back in those days, you know, you could go buy a Penguin hockey ticket for $10 and you could walk in and you can go sit down by the ice in someone else's seat because there wasn't enough people there. Okay? But you know what? Can't do that now. Why? Because they're a winning team. They're a winning team. And people pay big money to go see a winning team. Whether it's hockey, football, baseball, whatever the case may be. But when teams are losing, man, it's hard to get people out. Jesus won the biggest victory for you and for me. He became our substitute. He became sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He became sin. Now, he didn't sin. Now, it's interesting because you don't have to sin to become sin. Jesus never sinned, but he became sin. Neither do you have to commit righteousness to become righteous. Jesus took your sin, he became your substitute, you became his righteousness. All right? Matthew 8:17 says, he himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Jesus took your sin. Jesus took your sickness. We take his health. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus took sin. Jesus took sickness. Jesus took shame and poverty, and you take his riches. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't just fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. We have to accept it and embrace it by faith. We got to take it by faith. Amen? I know I went off a little bit here, but in John 3:16, God so loved the world. Now, we're looking at divine love up close. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave. He did something about our condition. Now, go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. We looked at this scripture last week, and I want to look at it again. Because like when you're in grade school, you know, you learn the times tables. How did you do that? Over and over and over and over again. Right? Wasn't a lot of fun, but that's how you learned. And in the things of God, that's how we learn, by repeating and saying things and hearing it over and over till it gets engrafted down on the inside of us. Notice in Romans 5, verse 8 says, "For God commendeth his love towards us." Here's, he's going to demonstrate his love towards us. "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So in other words, the scripture is saying, if I paraphrase it, God is demonstrating his love towards us. And so we're talking about today divine love and understanding how much God loves us. The Bible says right here that God loved us. He commends his love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So in other words, this couldn't have been a response to something that we did first. See, agape, we've been talking about this thing called agape love, A-G-A-P-E. That's the Greek word for love. There's different words, three different words for love in the New Testament. One of them is phileo love, where we get the city of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Okay? And that's where that word comes from. And it means it's a responsive kind of love. In other words, if I do something good for you, you feel obligated to do good for me. If I talk good to you, you feel obligated to... In other words, it's a responsive type of love. Okay? But agape love says, I don't care how you treat me, even if you treat me like dirt, I'm still going to treat you like a king and a queen. Amen. Because love, agape love is a decision, and God is love. He doesn't have love, he is love. Oh, praise God. God commendeth his love towards us. He demonstrates his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. So in other words, here's the first revelation we want to give out here today, is that God's love towards you and towards me has nothing to do with anything that we have ever done. So you can't grow and make God, you can't do anything to make God love you more. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I did not grow up with that mindset. That was the furthest thing. I never even knew about that. Because I was always taught that if you did good, God would treat you better, you know, and he would love you more and that kind of thing. Because that's the way it is with human beings. Okay? But see, his love is not based on anything that we've done. I know this is elementary, my dear. But we have to get down. We've got to get these things down. His love, his love is perfected. Where do we read the rest of this here? Now, when we embrace, I wrote down here, when we embrace divine love, certain things will take place in us. When we embrace divine love, and we call this revelation. Revelation. What's revelation? Revealed knowledge. Revelation means that you, it's kind of like this. If you ever read a scripture before, and maybe you've read it several times before, but this time when you read it, it's like I see something there I haven't seen before. Has anybody ever experienced that before? It's like, whoa, I didn't see it like that. And sometimes you'll listen to some preachers and stuff, and they'll be talking, and it's like, whoa, that just shed some light on a scripture that I've been reading for years, and I just didn't see it quite like that. Well, what is that? Well, the light just turned on. That's called revelation knowledge. And when you get revelation knowledge from heaven, the devil has no chance against you. I'm telling you, when you get revelation knowledge, it just scares him spitless. Amen? Now, when we embrace, we talked about this last week, when we embrace divine love, certain things will take place. Number one, security from fear and torment. Security from fear and torment. Now we've got to look at a scripture here that's going to back this up. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a few days in my life where I had fear and torment. Is anybody here? You get a bad report. Maybe it's a physical report about your body. Maybe it's a financial report. You know, it could be a a report about your son or your daughter or anything. I mean, it could be anything coming from any different source. You know what I'm saying? And fear is attached to that. Well, look at this scripture in 1 John 4 and verse 15 says, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Amen. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now look at this scripture. Let's meditate on this. Let's chew them. Let's take this thing apart right here. Verse 16. We have known and believed. You know, you can know about something but not believe it. People say, I know about that, but I really don't believe it. Well, you can know about the love of God, but not really believe in it. Okay? He says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, or we would say towards us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, that's a revelation right there. As he is. What's Jesus like right now? Is he broke? No. Is he full of fear? Nope. Is he healed? Yes. So as he is, so are we. Last time I looked at Jesus, he was healed. So if Jesus is healed, I'm healed. And I identify with that. Amen. See, all has to come down to what we're looking at. It's what are we looking at? What's going in our eye gate? What's going in our ear gate when it comes to fear? Because fear, you have to realize that the same thing that God uses, the devil uses too. He's a counterfeiter. He can't create anything. He can only counterfeit. And you have two main entryways or doorways into your spirit, and that's through your eye gate and your ear gate. What you hear and what you see is vitally important to the condition of your heart. Amen? Praise God. What you look at will affect the condition of your heart. Hallelujah. If we meditate on the news media, now I'm not saying don't know what's going on in the world. Okay, I'm not saying that. But if we meditate on what's going on in the world system, and last time I checked, I never saw anything good, especially our local news. One time I actually did this. I did an experiment. I put on like WTAE or one of those local stations, you know, for 30 minutes, you know, and it's like the worst I've seen anywhere. And I did an experiment. I wrote it down, actually. And the Lord said, look at what's coming across here. Was there anything positive? Not one thing. It had to do with robberies, murders, shortage, gas prices going up. This is a while back, you know. But, you know, might as well be today. It's the same thing recycled over and over and over again, you know. And yet people pay great homage to listen to that stuff all the time. Okay? People got time for their newspapers, but they don't got time for the Bible. Well, the newspaper is not going to give you good news. I can tell you that right now. It's not going to give you good news. Because good news doesn't sell. Bad news sells, according to the world. But see, if that's our only source of information that we're receiving, it's going to be difficult to have a spirit of faith on the inside. It's hard not to be negative when the world system is negative. The whole world system is going downhill. Okay? And we got to be like a salmon and swim upstream. Amen. Praise God. Going against the current. Because the whole world system, the whole world current is negative in that flow. Going down. Bad. Negative. Okay? But we can't permit ourselves or allow ourselves to get into that negative flow when God says, here's what I have for you. And so we've got to take heed. The Bible says, take heed what you hear. And it says, David even said this in the Old Testament. He said, I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes it's It happens whether you like it or not, because you'll see a commercial or you'll see some billboard or something like that, or something just flashes before you, you know. But it's all negative. But here's the good thing. We can choose to put good things in our ears and choose to put good things in our eyes that's going to benefit us in this life right now. I'm telling you, I can put, Melissa referred to this, putting healing scriptures in her eyes, in her ears, and it goes down inside your heart and thereby affecting the physical body. The Word of God is life to those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. Hallelujah. So I can choose to meditate on the things of God. Now notice right here that we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. Now look at verse 18. That's 1 John 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. All right. Now, I said this last week, I'll say it again, that a lot of times we look at this in the light of like us, there's no fear in love, you know, if you walk in love, there's not going to be any fear, but that's really not what that's talking about right there. This is actually talking about God's opinion towards us, God's attitude towards us. Have you ever wanted to know what someone else thought of you? I'm sure no one here has, right? I wonder what they think of me, you know? Well, Jesus said that one day, what are people saying about me? Amen. He was looking for the right answer. Some said, you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. You're one of the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah. He said, well, that's not good enough. What do you have to say? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He goes, right answer. Right answer. And he said, matter of fact, Simon, he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that knowledge to you, but my Father which is in heaven, he says, that's the rock I'm going to build my church on, revealed knowledge. Amen. Not Peter being the first pope. Okay, because in the same chapter, he, you know, Jesus rebuked him, told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because he said the wrong thing. See, on one hand, you can be hearing from heaven, and then the next minute, you're listening to the devil. Well, he changed after Pentecost when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. But notice in verse 18, there is no fear in love. Now, what does that mean? There is no fear. When you understand how much the Father loves you, that will eliminate fear from your life. Because you see in the verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. That's talking about God, how he sees you and me. Hallelujah. And so, knowing God's love towards us will eliminate fear, eradicate fear, because we know when the Lord loves us, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. Now, this has helped me immensely and continues to help me. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. Only God knows. You know and God knows. But you know where most people are at when they come to churches? You know, they got some financial issues. Their back's hurting. Their knees are hurting. They need a new refrigerator. And they want to know how to get help. That's where most people are at when they're coming to church, right? Got problems with this, problems with that, you know. And man, they need some help. They don't need some exposition at church that's going to use $50 words and confuse everybody. Sounded good, sounded pretty, but I don't know how to apply it in my life. And I've heard sermons like that, you know what I'm saying? Because I was impressed by their words, but I'm like, how do I apply that in my life? Right? Very educational, but it didn't do anything. But I'll tell you one thing that will help is when you know how much God loves you, it will transform your life. It will transform your life. You see, we have a love relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he just wants to love us. Amen? You know, I got two kids and I love to just love on them, whether they like it or not, whether they push me away or not. How many of your parents know what I'm talking about? You just, they're your kids. You just want to love them. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to just love us? He just wants to spend time with us. He wants to talk things over with us. Amen? I'll tell you, there's nothing like hearing God speak to you personally. And he's telling this to all of us. And he says, like, Keith, calls you by your first name. I love you today. And I haven't done a thing for him. I just woke up in the morning. He says, son, I love you today. Now, you can either accept that or reject that. Your mind, you can say, well, that's just my mind talking to me. Why can't it be God talking to you? Because he whispers to you. I'm telling you, all of you in this room, you have heard God's voice and you didn't even know it because it was so subtle. It was a still small voice. It wasn't like thundering out here, but it was inside you where the Holy Spirit says, son, daughter, I love you today. I just want to love on you today. You know, and there was a time where I pushed back on that. Years ago, when I would push back because I would hear that, but yet I would push back because I thought, I haven't done anything today. See where we're going with this? That mindset of doing to be accepted. If I do more, I'll get more love back. No, that's not how it works. God says, I love you just the way you are. I loved you while you were yet a sinner. And when I started to embrace what, by faith, what he was saying to me, now I can't see the Lord. He didn't appear to me. An angel didn't appear to me. But inside me, do you know what I'm talking about? I heard these words, Keith, I love you today. In the most sincere way I've ever heard it, more than any human being. And I would start to say out loud, because I didn't for years, I'd say out loud, Lord, I accept that today. I accept your love for me today. And I could see, not with these eyes, but in my spirit, I could see the Father smiling. God the Father smiling. Because I was able to receive, I've known about his love, but I have to believe in that love and receive that love. Amen? And any time that I've allowed myself to do that, and we can do that on a daily basis, fear just gets flushed out. Fear gets pushed back. And you know, when a bad report comes or something happens, you're like, you know what? I'm not worried about that because my Father's going to take care of me. Amen. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Father loves me, he's not going to sit back and do nothing. He's going to run to my rescue. If I need rescued, he's going to rescue me. If I need help, he's going to help me. I'm not looking to any person to do what he only can do. There's no human being that can do what God can do. Amen. That's why we have to look to God. Now, I had something funny happen to me about 2 months ago. And on a regular basis, sometimes I'll go up and I'll prepare my messages and I'll go to Barnes and Noble's up by our house, okay? And there's a little area back in there. It's private back there, you know, and I could go in there and, you know, get something to drink, sit down, study for a couple of hours and I like it. You know what I'm saying? I remember this one day I was in there. It was a little bit more crowded than normal and there was a lady behind me. And she was probably in her mid-60s, you know. And I had my little computer there and I was doing my sermon and my screen was there. So she was sitting right behind me and I kept sensing her looking over my shoulder. I'm like, I felt like picking the computer up and say, here, you want to see it? But I didn't do that. I thought that, but I didn't do that. And so I just took a bathroom break for a second. And when the bathroom came back, you know, and when I came back, just a couple of minutes later, this lady is sitting down in the chair right next to where I was sitting. I mean, right there. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen with this? You know? So I thought, well, something's going to happen here. I'm not sure what it is, but so I sat down in my chair like nothing ever happened, you know. And all of a sudden she starts rubbing her legs and her feet, and she goes, "Oh, my legs are hurting me. So my feet are hurting me so bad." And she goes, "Man, I wish I could buy those new shoes. I just don't have the money to buy them, you know." I'm thinking, you just saw my sermon here. And you're trying to hit on me, trying to get some money off of me right now. And I didn't give in to it. I started to feel guilty for a second. It was written all over her, you know, and I knew she had the wrong heart, wrong motive. And I did not feel led by the Spirit at that time to say, because I almost did it. I almost reached into my wallet and pulled out some money and gave it to her, you know, but I didn't feel like I was supposed to. And about a minute later, she got the hint, and she just up and just took off. You know what I'm saying? But I don't even know why I'm saying that, but it's just her motive was wrong. Her heart, she was trying to get something out of me. Amen? Now, it could have been a whole different scenario if she would have sat down and I would have saw something going on. She wouldn't have said anything. But she was just dropping major hints to me. Like, in other words, she was looking at me to become her source. And it's dangerous to make people become your source. Because people make a poor Jehovah. You know? But if we trust the Lord, boy, he can use... Now, he does use people. Don't get me wrong. God does use people. But we cannot determine who that person is going to be. Amen? I'll say it like this. There's only one source, but there's many channels. Okay? God is our only source, but he does have many channels. Our job is not to figure out who the channel is going to be. Okay? When I first started our first church back in 1986, when we just got out of Bible school and stuff, and we started this little Bible study, and our entire budget for the month was like $1,200. That's church, personal, everything. Okay, of course, it's changed since then. And the Lord dealt with my heart, make a long story real short. He dealt with us about stepping out and dedicating all of our time for prayer and for the ministry of the word to serve the people. And we just had a handful of people at the time. Okay, and I really wrestled with that because I thought, God, I'm not even making it now, let alone if I quit my job right now and do this full time, how are we going to make it? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, that's not your job to figure that out. He says, I'm your source. And boy, I had a wrestling match, like Jacob wrestled with the angel. I wrestled with the Lord about that. You know, and so long story short, I decided, okay, Lord, we're going to do it. We're going to do it by faith. I believe I heard from you, you know. And about a week later, I was up in my second bedroom. We had a two-bedroom house we rented in a real small little place, Cape Cod house. And I was up there and I was praying, and then I heard the mailman coming. He always pulled up in front of our house, our driveway, you know. And so I heard the clink from the mailbox, you know. So I went down there and got the mail out, you know. And I looked in my mail, and there was a letter from someone that we knew that when we were living in Texas. And I thought, oh, cool, I got a letter from somebody, you know, and that we knew, you know, and we used to live down there. So I opened up the letter, and there was a nice letter in there, and there was a check in there for $1,200. For us, okay? And now, she knew nothing about this couple. Knew nothing. I remember their last names, the Chandlers. I remember they're probably in heaven now. But they knew absolutely nothing about our situation. They knew nothing about, all they know is we just started a church, you know? And here's our entire budget that came in at that time, $1,200 that took care of us. But here's the thing. Next month came along. Because that went real quick. Yeah. Amen? See, that's what Jesus told the disciples one time when he provided the fish and the loaves, you know, remember that? Supernaturally provision. And then the very next day, they're in the boat and they begin to wonder about where they're going to get enough food for the next meal. He just performed a miracle and turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into feeding the masses. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that's doubt and unbelief. Amen. So every morning I'd be up there praying in my bedroom, and I'd hear the mailman come there every time, the same day he'd pull up there. And I'd hear clink from that metal mailbox, and I'd run down the steps, you know. I'm just being honest with you. And I open it up and like, doggone it, there's nothing in there. I'm thinking this, you know. And finally, after about a week of this going on, the Lord spoke to me and he says, Keith, do you think I live in that mailbox? No, I didn't laugh when he told me that. I was like, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Because I've made the mailbox, people sending letters in the mail, as my source. And the Lord says, no, I'm your source, Keith. And I'll tell you what, I look back and there was ways that God provided for us that I would have never dreamed possible. You know, but And the Lord was saying, Keith, there's only one source, but there's many channels. Your job, don't get your eyes on the channels. You know, if you get extra work or if this happens or someone gives you something, whatever, those are all channels. But don't get your eyes on the channels. Keep your eyes on me, the source, because if I'm your source, I can take care of you out in the middle of the desert somewhere. The prophet, the one time that brought the bird, the ravens brought food and dropped it in the prophet's lap every day. Remember that? Just go by the brook chair and sit down. Here comes a Big Mac every day flying out of the air, right in your lap. That actually happened. Amen. And then he commanded a widow woman to sustain him who was poor, didn't have anything. And there was just supernatural the whole way. Okay? So there's no fear in love when you understand how much God loves you. That will eliminate fear from your life. It might knock on your door, but you're going to say, you're not welcome here. Because I know the Father loves me, and He is going to take care of me. There's no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear, because notice this, fear has torment. Fear has torment. I don't like torment. Torment is something that goes on inside the mind of a person, even a believer, if we let it. Torment. Oh. Regret. Oh. Things that normally haven't even happened yet. Are you with me now? And you just, somebody said something, it's just, you know. Listen, we got to get back to our trust roots. Someone may not have treated you right. We're not making light of that. All of us here have had other people not treat us right. Okay? Even believers. Sometimes believers yield to the devil and they say things that are very hurtful. Okay? Because you don't expect it from them. But someone that's not walking with Christ, I mean, you know anything could happen with them. But when it comes through a believer, you're thinking, why, God, why did they do that? Why did they allow that to happen? Why did they say that? You know? Well, believers, because we've all yielded to the enemy at some point, right? Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, born-again, Bible-toting, you know? I've done it. Okay? We've all yielded at times to the enemy, the spirit of fear, and we've said things out of our mouth because we listened to what he was saying to us because of fear. So we need to be very selective, and if a thought comes to us that's fearful, well, we need to just stop that in its tracks and not even verbalize it. Amen? Because thoughts that are not spoken die unborn. They're miscarried in a good way. When the devil brings a thought to you, a fearful thought, you're not going to make it. They're taking advantage of you. Something bad's going to happen to your son or your daughter. Something bad's going to happen to your finance. Something bad's going to happen to your health. Do you see the history of your family health? And it's not very good. And they all died at a certain age. Huh? And so the enemy just repeats that into our ears. And you say, no, I'm not going there. God has not given me the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but he's given me power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, folks, this stuff works. The Word of God works. And you can have joy. The Christian walk is a journey. It's like a long-distance race. It's not a 50-yard dash. The Apostle Paul said that. We're in a race, and we have to complete this race. And we don't want to be knocked out of the race because of fear. So on a weekly basis, we should be saying no and we should be saying yes. Amen? Satan says something to you, say, nope, no, no. Instead of sitting back and getting beat up, boom, 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 with thoughts hitting your head, open your mouth and take authority. Say, no, that will not happen to me. That might have happened to 3rd and 4th generations in my family. It's not going to happen to me. You know, my father, my grandfather, my great friend, that might have happened to them, but that's not going to happen to me. We're stopping that curse right now. See, that's what they ask when you go to the doctor, you know, they want to know about your family history.
Yeah.
What happened to your mama? What happened to your dad? What happened to their parents? Right? Genetics. And that's what they want to find out. They're doing the best that they can. But the problem is, the thing they don't realize is this. You're in a new family, a new bloodline, and your bloodline is champion. Amen. Champion. Victory. Hallelujah. Just like, you know, I've shared this before, but, you know, that horse that won the Triple Crown, American Pharoah. Yes. Remember the American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, yep. Right? Do you know how much money that horse was worth? Ooh, baby. That horse was worth a lot of money. But do you know who his great, great, great grandfather was? Secretariat. That won the Triple Crown. In 1976, somewhere around there, you know, I remember I was a teenager when it happened. Okay, and there is that horse was the fastest horse I believe that ever existed, as far as on record. I mean that thing can run, you know, and so there's something to say about the bloodline, and they pay great money to breed those horses that come from that bloodline. Listen, there's a bloodline that's in you and in me. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, that blood of Jesus Christ that whipped the devil, destroyed him. And that blood belongs to you, and the blood of Jesus Christ belongs to you and belongs to me. And we're in a new family now. So heart problems are not in my family. Amen. Cancer is now not in my family. Bone problems are not in my family because I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm in a new family. Hallelujah. I get that. How about you? Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus has washed me. I'm in a new family now. What could have, should have happened in my natural family has been abolished now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My new identification is in Christ Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am going to live long and strong on this earth, according to Psalm 91, because I'm in a new bloodline. And I don't fear those things anymore. Amen? Amen. Now, this is 1979, actually. I graduated from high school in 1979. And my grandfather on my mother's side came down with cancer, colon cancer. And, you know, I was just a young fella. I still am. But no matter how old we get, we should think young. We should think young. Amen. Always be learning. Always be growing. Praise the Lord. And I watched him die a slow death and just his bones get eat away at cancer. And he died, you know. And I think he got saved in his latter, right before he passed away. But I remember, make a long story short, I watched this happen. My mother and her sister and the family, they were just so distraught about this and watching this happen. And I had this thought back then come to me when I was watching, because I didn't even like to go over there. It just was eerie and creepy to me. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of death was in that room, you know? And I didn't know what that was, but I just felt I didn't want to be around it. You know what I'm saying? But I had this thought come to me, someday that's going to happen to you. Okay? Now, I didn't know at that time how the demons and evil spirits speak to you. I didn't know they existed. Okay? But I had a thought. And I didn't say a word to anybody about this. I mean, not even my parents. I didn't say a word to anybody. But I had that thought come to my mind. There's all this like lingering fear in the back of my mind. Someday that's going to happen to you, right? So once I got into a church that was preaching the Word of God, I began to realize that, wait a minute, that thought didn't come from the Lord. It came from Satan. It came from one of his demons. And at that point, I had a choice to say, I'm confronting this thought right now, because that happened way back in the day, but it was still kind of haunting me up till that time. And I dealt with it. I said, Satan, I realize now that was you lying to me about this. And I rebuke that. I rebuke that. I will not have that. I want that. What happened to my grandfather will not happen to me in the name of Jesus. And I got violent about it in a good way before the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not going to receive this. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Now that fear left it. It's never come back to me. Hallelujah. But you know, when fear comes against you, the Lord's standing right there in your worst moment, in your worst fear, the Lord's still, He's right next to you, standing there waiting to help you. There's no fear in love. Say, there's no fear in love. Now, I only have two more scriptures and we'll let you go here. Just go to John 17. Knowing God's love will eliminate fear, because we know that love will take care of us. God is love. He will take care of us. There have been times, and I've said this, I believe last week, that I'll say it over and over if I have to say it 1,000 times, 2,000 times. I'll say it over. The Lord loves me. He's going to take care of me. The Lord loves me. He's going to take care of me. He is taking care of me. And you just get that ingrained on the inside of your heart. Instead of meditating on fearful thoughts and talking about that, you can meditate on the Word of God, and it brings great peace to you every time. Okay, now this is the NLT. Notice this. We're looking at, okay, God, how He loves us, right? Notice in His, one of His, this is towards the end of Jesus Christ's ministry, and He was praying for His disciples, and He was praying for people. Now listen to me. He was praying for people that would believe on His name in the future. That would include you and me. Because He made the statement, He says, Lord, I'm not only praying this for my disciples and those that follow me, but I'm praying for those in the future that will believe on your name. That's us. And here's what He prayed. One of the things in verse 23 says, I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Now there's the phrase right there. That they would know that you love them as much as you love me. Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now let me paraphrase that. Jesus is praying here. He said, Lord, show them that you love them to the same degree that you love me. Now most of us would think from the natural standpoint that God loves Jesus more than He loves us. That's His Son, right? Not true. You and Jesus, side by side, God says, I love you both with the exact same love. Everybody say, wow. Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Wow. Amen. The Father loves me, Keith, as much as He loves Jesus. Whew. Now, I may have a hard time grasping that at first, but if I meditate on that, oh, the Father loves me to the same degree. That's what the Word says right there. He loves me with the same love that He loves Jesus with. Now, we know that we have confidence God's going to take care of Jesus, don't we? Jesus gets in a bind. He gets in a situation. Here comes the angels. Here comes God. Here comes a host of angels to take care of Him. Jesus even said, don't you know, one time He said, I can call down 12 legions of angels right now. When it came to the cross. But he willingly laid His life down for us. But He could have called on 12 legions of angels. Now, depending on what a legion is, that's a lot of angels. He could have called down angels, come help me right now, and they would have done it. Okay? He didn't call the angels so that we could. He didn't. He could have. But the Lord, that's why He prayed. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Lord said, no, this is the plan right now. And Jesus said, okay, I'll submit to that. I'll do that. And boy, He paid a dear price for us, didn't He? Yes. Not only did He go to the cross, but He went to hell for 3 days and 3 nights and suffered torment and the torments of hell, because He suffered for every believer. Amen. But we can call upon the angels of God to help us now, because Jesus didn't. He went there so that we wouldn't have to. So He loves us as much as He loves Jesus. That's the revelation we want to get across today. Now we'll close at this scripture in John 13, verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. Are you learning something today?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So the distinguishing mark for a believer is not necessarily our faith, but our love. Our love towards one another. When we operate on when we operate in the love of God towards one another, nothing can go wrong. Because love will compensate. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love doesn't get jealous. If someone else gets blessed, you don't get jealous. Because why? Because you know God's going to take care of you too. He's always going to take care of us. Thank you, Lord. But notice it says, and we'll have to pick this up next week, but he says, a new commandment. I'm giving you a new commandment. He says that you love one another. Notice this, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Hallelujah. If we don't know how much the Lord loves us, we cannot love other people.
Amen.
It's impossible to do that. Jesus said, love one another as, or even as, I have loved you. So if we don't know that, Lord, how much did you really love me? Then I can't treat other people that way as well. I'll give you an example, and I'll just refer to this, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the scripture says, husbands, love your wives even as, say even as.
Even as.
Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now those words even as are a connecting word. So husbands, love your wife. Agape, it's the word agape. Husbands, agape your wives. Now the reason that some husbands haven't done that is because they don't know about it. It's not because they're trying to do something bad. If they don't know, that's why Paul said we can pray that the eyes of our understanding would be open, that we would know the love of Christ. And when I understand the love of Christ, then I can easily translate that into loving other people. Praise God. Whew. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When you know how good God is and how wonderful He is, He's just looking to bless somebody. He's just looking, who can I bless today? I mean, that's kind of like you, if you had $13 trillion at your disposal, an unlimited bank account, wouldn't that be great? Is there anything you couldn't do to help somebody? I mean, seriously? You saw someone in a need, and you'd be, and the Lord spoke to you, I said, I want you to take care of that. Go pay that house off. Go pay that. Go buy him a new car. You know what I'm saying? Not even think twice about it. Well, listen, our Father owns it all.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father owns it all. And He is able to take care of all of us at the same time and have plenty left over. That's our Father. But it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He forgave the church. Did he? How did Christ love the church? He forgave the church when we were wrong. He listens to the church. He provides for the church. Amen. He protects the church. Amen. Now, I'm married to Lynn. I have a covenant with her. I love her. Okay? And if someone attacked her physically, my love for her would demand that I jump on top of that person and take them out in Jesus' name. Not even bat an eye. Boom, in Jesus' name. Whatever I'd have to do. I'm not mad at them. I'm not walking in unforgiveness, but my love for her determines I will do anything to protect her because I'm in covenant with her. Do you know that's how God sees us? That's how God sees us. You know, back in the Old Testament, there was one angel that wiped out 186,000 people that were God's enemies. One angel. One angel. I think it was 186,000 people. Wiped them out. They were history. One angel. And we got more than one angel at our disposal. I can tell you that right now. When you were born into this earth, God gave you an angel. When you got born again, they're ready to work for you. They're ready to help you. Amen. Now next week we're going to pick this up and we're going to get into more details and how to apply this love. I wish we could just get right fast forward into next week. But to know the love of Christ is the most powerful thing. Amen. Paul said it like this. He says, it's the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. In other words, it's something beyond our natural understanding. We can grasp this love that God has to us. Amen.